segment with Todd Leonard, where we'd come and bring Todd on the show. We'd talk about which golfer was going to win, do all the sort of fun stuff here. And Todd's been really one of the best golf writers out there. He has a story up, which Jack and I talked about last night on Kogo, which was a bummer, a bit of a bummer, but because we allowed ourselves to think that with the U.S. Open heading to town on June 17th, that's the first round, and the state of California, according to Gavin Newsom, expected to open on June 15th, we got way ahead of ourselves, and we started imagining and thinking about what Torrey Pines would look like with 300,000 people on the South Course. And then we go to Golf Digest, and Todd Leonard writes a story, and the USGA, the U.S. Golf Association CEO, says that I don't know that we're going to see more than 10,000 people on site for the U.S. Open in June. Let's reunite with Todd Leonard with Golf Digest. He joins us on Extra 1360. Todd, it's a pleasure. It's Darren. We appreciate your time.
Hey, Darren. Good to talk to you. And it was funny. I was thinking about this morning the weekly picks that we did all those years ago. God, that was a long time ago now, man. But and I don't know that I got any of them right. But yeah, those are good days, man. I enjoy being back with you. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're still doing a version of that segment. You didn't hear that I picked Hideki Matsuyama to win the Masters this past week? Because I was all over that one, Todd. Just like everybody else. I know that's a chalk pick, but you know, I was ahead of the curve on that pick.
Well, so. Congrats then. He's one of the last guys I would have picked.
Right, I'm telling you, what a moment there for the Masters. What a moment for Hideki Matsuyama as well. Well, yeah, Todd, and like I know that this is us and myself and Jack, and we talked about it a little bit on this station. We talked about it over on our sister station over on Kogo, but we got way ahead of ourselves here because we heard what the governor of the state of California said about expecting to have no color-coded tiers effective in the middle of June, June 15th. And then we quickly looked at the golf calendar and saw the U.S. Open, Torrey Pines, June 17th. And you write at golfdigest.com that parking and shuttle issues are going to keep the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines to be no more than 10,000 on-site daily. So tell us, what's going on here?
So I think, Darren, it speaks to the enormous undertaking of a U.S. Open and a major championship, but certainly U.S. Open, which, you know, we have to understand, you know, moves from venue to venue every year. And just what it takes to the years of preparation, the years of corporate sales, the years of planning, you know, that it takes to stage a U.S. Open. Is it's enormous. And so you can't just throw it together. And the problem is that the USGA, you know, to its quiet frustration, I'm sure they're far more frustrated than they're letting on, but they just, you know, and again, you know, you have to understand, you know, where the government's coming from too, but they haven't been able to have any kind of answers as far as numbers that they could then plan out some kind of, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan Z to, you know, to stage this thing. And I think they've had all those plans. But, you know, Mike Davis, I thought, was very frank with me yesterday in that they still don't know. You know, we're now 9 weeks away from the U.S. Open, and they still don't know, you know, exactly how many people they can have on site. So it just speaks to the enormity of the planning of this and then the logistical nightmare of what they're facing as far as trying to figure out, you know, how to put people on that site with any kind of satisfaction to the state and local government level.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that. Todd Leonard is joining us, Golf Digest, because we remember last time that it was 295,000 people estimated at the U.S. Open back in 2008. And with the state of California announcing that it expects almost 2 months to the day, Todd, that we're going to be fully open again with no restrictions, What's the hesitation here? Why wouldn't we be able to anticipate that maybe not 295,000, right? Because maybe not everybody's vaccinated or what have you. Mm-hmm. But why would we not be thinking along those lines when we've been told that, that the middle of June is when we're expected a full reopening and the start of this tournament is June 17th?
Right, right. So the crux of my story yesterday, which was a new twist, I felt like for anybody following it, was Mike Davis saying that the state, because they're also having these same issues up at the Olympic Club in San Francisco for the U.S. Women's Open, 2 weeks before the men's open, is that the state is apparently telling them, even though they're saying, you know, that we're going to be open, that they cannot put, you know, however many people fit on one of those luxury buses that shuttle people back and forth from, you know, well, in 08, they shuttle them back and forth what was then Qualcomm Stadium. And you drove to Qualcomm and you got on the bus and you went the 17 miles to Torrey and then you got off. The state is apparently telling them that you can't put, you know, a full amount of people on one of those big buses and drive them 17 miles to the site. And so then, Darren, it becomes, you know, virtually impossible. You can't do like, you know, 25%, you know, of people in a luxury bus and have any more than, you know, 10,000 people on site. Because that's the other key thing in this, Darren, is we are talking about every single body on site. When we say 10,000 or 8,000 or 6,000, we're talking about reporters, medics, volunteers checking people in, volunteers trying to find balls in the, you know, in the rough. You know, camera people, announcers, caddies. We are talking about every single person. And so that 10,000 is everybody. It's not just like people you're going to see outside the ropes. So we're not going to see any more than, I don't know, 3,000 people outside the ropes, like fans, you know, 3,000 or 4,000, probably at the max. And I think that we saw way more than that at Augusta, and I think we saw way more than that at the Players' Championship. And so, you know, this is going to look, you know, like one of these, you know, late-in-the-year tour events in Florida where, you know, you see a smattering of people around every hole. But we're not even going to see, you know, what we saw at Augusta as far as, you know, people around the 18th hole, I don't think, oh, we may see that on Sunday. But so this all, amazingly enough, apparently comes down to putting people on buses and shuttles and not being able to do that and then not being able to transport them. And the only parking they really have there when anybody thinks about, you know, that venue at Torrey Pines is UCSB, the Glider Port, and the North Course. The North Course is going to be one big parking lot. And so, you know, that's what they have the room for.
So wait, you people are going to be parking on the North Course?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I read a lot. I missed that detail. But you know, what's interesting about this, Todd, is, you know, as you're rattling off these numbers, and I don't remember exactly how it was that we got on site. I'm sure I parked somewhere and took a shuttle bus like a lot of other people. Is that the way the majority of those 295,000 people got on site for the 2008 U.S. Open? Because like it's such a dramatically lower number that, you know, you're talking about, you know, let's just work with 10,000 because I think it's easiest for everybody to understand. But to your point, that's everybody allowed on the property. I mean, there were 285,000 people taking shuttle buses from Qualcomm and other destinations in the Torrey Pines in 2008?
Yeah, absolutely, Darren. Wow. I mean, in the media went from a shuttle at the Doubletree down there, Carmel yep. Valley, and the Five. But, you know, I felt sorry for people, and I've seen it at other majors where, you know, they do have to travel miles and miles just to get to a venue. But yeah, I looked it up again in our past issues from that year, and Qualcomm was absolutely the site, and it was 200 buses a day traveling back and forth between there, and that was the prime site. Now, in the past, like the Farmers Open, it had SeaWorld as a site, and they'd have the Del Mar Fairgrounds as a site. But literally, like, for this U.S. Open, people are going to have to be within walking distance of the golf course or small shuttle rides, you know, to and from the course. There will be, I'm sure, socially distanced in among themselves. But so, like, UCSD, you know, there, those parking lots there on kind of the northern end of the UCSD campus will be used, I think. But again, people will be walking from there or, you know, getting small shuttle rides. But, I think that's the thing, Darren, is people don't remember that. You know, they don't remember, I mean, the people who did it, but not us in the media, but, you know, the people who, you know, trudged to Torrey Pines to walk along 40,000 people, you know, their starting point was Qualcomm Stadium, as well as the volunteers. And although I think there might have been separate volunteer parking somewhere too, where those people got shuttled in.
Wow, that is, I gotta admit, it's a bit of a bummer. It is a little bit of a shock to the system. Can't we import a bunch of those London buses with no roofs on them? And wouldn't that satisfy? Because you also think, coming out of a pandemic again, and you know, we're not completely over the hurdle here for the middle of June, which, you know, is just a couple of months away. But you would think an outdoor venue, Todd, there in La Jolla, everybody knows what this looks like, where it is, et cetera, is like the perfect outdoor venue to have a bunch of people. So is there any ideas or any concepts that anybody's working with? We realize time is ultimately of the essence here, and it's probably the USGA which needs to get this figured out sooner rather than later. I think if I read correctly at Golf Digest, they want some decision or announcement by the end of the month. But are they kicking around any other, as off the wall as the ideas may seem, are they kicking around any other ideas to perhaps boost attendance a little bit?
It's interesting, Darren. If that's happening, they aren't being candid about it. And I just, what's striking to me, Darren, is that if you go out to Torrey Pines this afternoon, you will not know that U.S. Open is going to be played there. Well, I take that back. The only way you would know the U.S. Open is being played there is that a temporary driving range has been built across the holes near the clubhouse on the north course, you know, because the driving range is too small. But otherwise, I've heard, you know, there are stakes up for, like, where they're going to put player hospitality and stuff by the existing driving range. But by this time in 08, you know, there was an entire city going up. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean, there were roads built across the North Course for all the trucks to haul all the merchandise center stuff and the grandstands and all that stuff. And there is none of that today. And that tells you all you need to know about how much the USGA has given up on the idea that there are going to be any amounts of people out there. I think what we're going to see, like, in the last month, is a rush to get some outdoor, you know, beer gardens built, essentially, right? That people can stand at, you know, tables and eat a hot dog and have a beer or a cocktail. But that's all we're going to see. And you know, just so you know, because it was a story I was working on, is that the USGA was going to go, before COVID, they were going to go with, like, a Farmers Insurance Open model. It was going to be the first of its kind, really, at a U.S. Open, where they were going to have massive hospitality around golf holes, which they've never done. If you go to a Farmers, they have all this hospitality now down this, you know, the last 5-6 holes. And basically, the USGA was going to adopt that model because, one, you know, it's much better for their corporate sponsors to be on the golf course rather than, say, in 08, where all the hospitality was, like, on the first hole of the North Course, right? Mm. And so USGA was going to flip the switch and really have a very different Open here anyway, and it was going to make them a ton of money, and it was going to be one of these, you know, another fantastic, successful, you know, financial boon to them at Torrey Pines, and they're getting just the opposite.
And that really, for anybody who's listening who doesn't care all that much about golf or the U.S. Open, that's the real, you know, that's one of the worst parts about this, Todd, is the economic impact expected, even though we're still in a balancing act about coming out of a pandemic and Padres are at 33%, and where they're going to be in a couple of weeks is anybody's guess. But when you think about what was the economic impact of the U.S. Open back in 2008, and to think that we're not even going to sniff that is just such a huge bummer for the city, especially given the circumstances and what this event would attract under normal circumstances.
Right, because we're talking, you know, estimates of 100 million. And, you know, just like, say, the Breeders' Cup, which I don't think has the same impact. But, you know, you got so many people coming in from out of town. So it's hotel rooms and restaurants and all that. I mean, there are very, very few events that San Diego hosts, maybe other than Comic-Con now, that can have that kind of one-time impact. And that's the thing, Darren, is you lose it for 15 years, right? I mean, it's taken from 08 until now to have another U.S. Open here, and it'll be another, you know, 12, 15 years before potentially another major comes here. And so this is your one and done, and you don't get a second chance, unlike Augusta, you know, that's taking short hits, but they'll be back to rolling in dough soon. But, you know, San Diego's and the USGA, for that matter, are going to take this huge hit again at one of their most lucrative venues. I mean, this was the most lucrative venue of all time for them, and it's going to cost them money. They're not going to make any money off this. It's going to cost them money.
Ugh.
And it's a huge loss for the city.
Can you move it back? They've moved things back in the past. It's not like they don't have some recent experience with this. And I know this sounds incredibly self-serving, but this is why you host events like this. Would there be any opportunity, you think, to move it back a little while?
No. I think we're kind of far gone now with the golf events, and we've seen it with other, you know, sports too, where people are just pressing on, you know, they're sucking it up and understanding the problems, and they're pressing on, and, you know, we're not going to see, you know, the Open Championship at Royal St. George's, you know, postponed for a year and then come back, you know, and the USGA, I haven't checked it lately because all this stuff happened so quickly. The USGA is scheduled like 10 years out already for venues. So, you know, and I think the PGA Championship would want to come here. So the USGA is going to need to decide in the next couple of years whether, you know, it loves Torrey for so many reasons that I'm sure it would want to come back. But now we're not looking until the 30s and later, maybe the 40s.
Yeah, well, we'll both be doing this. You know, you and I will have this conversation coming up in about 10 years, 10, 15 years, right? We could just do this one more time.
But it's, you know, I mean, how sad is that? You know, Mike Davis told me in this conversation yesterday that he's worked for the USGA for 37 years. There is no Open that he loves more than what happened at Torrey Pines in his lifetime. And so and it's Mike's last year as CEO. So you can't imagine his disappointment at, you know, he presided over the greatest US Open of all time, and now it's gonna be, you know, and again, it's a US Open. The competition should be fantastic. But, you know, San Diego made the US Open that year because of the fans and how they embraced it, and that Monday playoff, and how we embraced that. And so San Diego is looked upon very, very fondly by the golf world because of that. And to now not have that chance to kind of celebrate in a way that we would have been is really sad.
Todd, excellent reporting. Great catching up. Thank you very much for being available to us today. We thank you for the time, as always.
Thanks, Darren. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. That is Todd Leonard, everybody. And with Golf Digest, you can go to golfdigest.com. There's quotes in there. There's all sorts of details in there about grandstands, hospitality tents, things along those lines in much, much greater detail. It's a bummer. It's a huge bummer. Jack and I last night were coming up with every idea that we could. Let's close the streets down. Well, you can't do that. There's a hospital there. Well, let's get rickshaws. Let's get people on bicycles. Let's get London buses.
London buses is the absolute best idea. Import a bunch of them from like up north, from Hollywood, wherever else, and just do that. I see like the trolleys. I see like little trolley that used to come through my neighborhood back in the day. Bring that. That's crazy. So you could have
put those gliders to action. Put people in gliders and float them into Torrey Pines. Jackson, why don't we have a bunch of people park at Del Mar and we'll have horse-drawn carriages?
That fantastic. Let's go back. Yes, be very resourceful. Why not?
Bring them in by boat. It's on an ocean, for God's sake. Bring them on in the boat. Let them walk up the hill.
You're going to have more staffers, golfers, personnel, media than you will a fan spectator.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
It blows. All right. Thank you to Todd. At Todd Leonard SD.